This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
bbclearningenglish.com presents Talk About English, a series of radio features that support your English language studies. This program is for people who want some help following English news bulletins. We focus on some of the language and topics that often appear in the news, as we join Gary Stevens for this program, first broadcast in 2003.
Today's big story is migration. We'll focus on some of the issues and, of course, the language behind the topic, and we'll look at how migration is reported in the news. The International Organization for Migration is based in Geneva. It has members from more than 100 countries and works with migrants and governments to set up policies to manage migration flows for the benefit of all. I spoke on the telephone to the IOM's spokesperson, Jean-Philippe Chauzy, and I wondered first of all if he could provide us with a working definition of the term migrant.
Well, yes, the general definition is for someone who will leave his or her own country to go and work abroad for a period of time, which can vary between several months to several years. Now, if you're looking at a broader definition, you are looking also at people who will at some point decide to circulate, in other words, migrate from one country to another, following opportunities on the global labor market. Or you're looking at the other end of the spectrum, people who will be smuggled across international borders in a irregular fashion, clandestine fashion, and will end up in exploitative networks, whether in forced labor or in networks of sexual exploitation.
Migration itself isn't a new phenomenon. In fact, during the 19th century, roughly 1 in 10 people could be classed as an international migrant. But how does this compare with the situation today? I asked Jean-Philippe Chauzy why people choose to leave their country of birth and how many people are doing this.
Well, first, I think it's fair to say that there's no country in the world that remains unaffected by international migration flows. Today, most countries in the world are either countries of origin, of transit, or of destination for migrants. Some of them are all three simultaneously. The numbers we have are just estimates. I mean, if you're looking at a stock number for the number of international migrants today worldwide, well, the figure is hovering around 175 million migrants worldwide. That means that roughly one person in 35 in the world today is a migrant.
Well, as you say, those are quite staggering figures. And I guess people are moving for different reasons.
Yes, absolutely. If you're looking at economic migration, it's most of the time, obviously, it's the lack of socio-economic prospects at home that will push people to leave, to migrate in search of better opportunities. So that's probably one of the main push factors. But you could also obviously look at the issue of bad governance and also the fact that you do have people who flee, obviously, conflict, civil strife. So all these are push factors.
And if there are these push factors that lead people to migrate, I guess you might refer as well to pull factors. What might these pull factors be?
Amongst the pull factors, the fact that migrants know that they will find employment or better paid employment in the country of destination. Most of the time, that is in the informal sector. There's also the fact that in many countries, there are large diasporas that will facilitate the arrival of the migrants. It's also fair to say that you have now some highly organized criminal networks that are operating, or smuggling or trafficking networks that are operating worldwide, that are making huge amounts of money, billions of dollars every year, either helping migrants who cross borders illegally, and these are smugglers, or helping migrants cross borders illegally to keep those migrants in very exploitative networks. We're looking more now at trafficking networks.
Could we look at another couple of terms that often appear in news stories? One is remittances, and the other is to do with the brain drain. Maybe let's start with the brain drain.
Well, the brain drain, this expression has been around for decades. It basically qualifies the fact that skilled human resources are leaving developing countries and are benefiting developed countries. In other words, a doctor or nurse might be trained in a developing country, and then this person will find employment in a more developed country. And, of course, that is obviously a great loss for the country of origin.
Is there anything we can do about this brain drain?
Well, we're saying at the IOM, migration can be and should be associated to the development of countries of origin. For instance, you can ask qualified migrants to go back to their home countries for short periods of time so they can transfer their knowledge and their skills. The other thing is migration can be associated to development. If you're looking at the issue of remittances, that's the money that is sent back by the diaspora to the country of origin. The figures are actually quite staggering. I think World Bank figures for Africa, looking at remittances, those figures hover around $80 billion a year. In other words, the amount of remittances in Africa is probably higher than development aid. So there has to be a way to capitalize on these remittances to make sure that they contribute to the economic development of the home country.
The benefits of migration can be substantial. The country of origin can benefit economically when migrants send money back to their families at home. Migrant workers can acquire skills and knowledge to take home to their own communities. And the country of destination may be able to use migrant workers to fill job vacancies where they don't have enough skilled labour of their own. But not everyone is a winner. There can be problems as well as benefits.
There are still not enough channels open for regular legal migration. In other words, a lot of people want to migrate, but there are few channels to allow them to do so legally. So what most would-be migrants will do at some point is look at ways of using smuggling and trafficking networks. And that has a very serious impact, A, on the well-being of the migrant, who might find himself or herself in very exploitative situations and very dangerous, physically dangerous situations. It also has a negative impact on the host society because migrants who resort to smugglers and traffickers will never be able to integrate. If they have children, they'll have great difficulties sending their children to school. Their rights will be abused. One of the other aspects is that because there are fewer channels for people to migrate legally, and because migrants will probably turn at some point towards smuggling and trafficking networks, this benefits highly organized criminal networks today that are making billions of dollars every year smuggling and trafficking people. It's become, in a way, the new slave trade.
Jean-Philippe Chauzy of the International Organization for Migration. In the final part of today's programme, I'd like to play you part of a report I saw on BBC Television News. The report explains how Britain's health service has been hiring nurses from the Philippines because of a shortage of trained staff in British hospitals. As we've discovered in the big story today, there can be winners and losers in this type of exchange. For example, you'll hear about the financial benefits for those who find work in Britain. But you'll also hear about a brain drain taking place in the Philippines as a result. The reporter is Clive Myrie.
Conrado Rosario is not a wealthy man. His home, the working-class Manila suburb of Balara. His daughter Cherilyn had always dreamed of leaving the village. Her parents were understanding. Becoming a nurse was her way out, her ticket to a better life.
I know her dreams were fulfilled, to work abroad and to be able to help her other brothers and sisters as well as our family financially.
How did you feel when your daughter said she wanted to leave the Philippines, wanted to work abroad?
We love her. We want her to stay with us, but because we could not provide for what she wants for her future, we have to let her go to work in another place to serve other people.
The lure of relatively high wages overseas means this country's medical schools are churning out nurses with little interest in using their talents here.
Frankly, I'd still be working abroad because I heard that there are more opportunities there than we have here.
More opportunities, more money?
Yes, I can say. Here, the salary here is too small.
So the money is an important thing for you?
Yes, because I want to help my parents.
The Philippines is hemorrhaging nurses at a rate it simply cannot sustain. Every year, thousands leave nursing colleges with the right skills and qualifications, but decide to work abroad, mainly in America and the UK. The migration of talent is becoming so acute, some here predict the collapse of the Philippines' health system within 5 years.
Officially, in 2001, more than 13,500 nurses left the Philippines. The true figure is thought to be double that, and it's not hard to see why. On average, nurses in the Philippines earn a basic monthly salary of 8,500 pesos, just over £100. In the UK, the figure is 14 times that.
The ones who are leaving are the high-caliber nurses. What I'm trying to say, these are the more experienced ones, those who have had years of intensive care unit, anesthesia, for example, or emergency room. They're the ones leaving. So the difficulty right now, if you get new nurses, you have to retrain them, and it takes quite some time. And therefore, there will be a gap in the delivery of quality services for nurses.
But many colleges pride themselves on preparing Filipinos for a life overseas.
Filipino experience culture shock.
The bosses here say it's all about supply and demand.
I don't look at it as a brain drain because I look at it as a global economic situation. Then you realize that there's not much brain drain at all because you develop new talents locally, and these people serving the other countries are actually also serving the country by sending whatever income they get from abroad.
That was Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.